It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, campaign donations from wealthy donors are up significantly this fall since courts deregulated overall giving last spring.
First, we're kicking off a week-long series called On the Rocks, a look at Wisconsin's alcohol culture. Each day this week at 5, we'll take a look at a different aspect of alcohol use here in the Badger State.
We're starting the series with a look at how Wisconsin got its booze-soaked reputation and how much the reputation costs us, both economically and in other ways. Julia Sherman is with us. She's the coordinator for the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. Julia, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for the invitation.
So when you live in Wisconsin and have spent a lot of time here, as I have, growing up here and spending most of my life in the state, the culture surrounding alcohol, it's just sort of the water that we swim in. Can you help us right now to see the state with fresh eyes? How does Wisconsin's alcohol culture look compared with the rest of the country?
Well, I'm not a native Wisconsinite. I came here to go to college. And one of the first things I noticed, and other people who come here tell me they notice, is that alcohol is literally everywhere. It is sold in far more locations in Wisconsin than most other places. Alcohol drinking is almost every appropriate. It's practically at the center of all of our event, even events and locations and sorts of things that wouldn't normally be considered appropriate, like children's events and children's parties. You'll find parents sharing a beer or a glass of wine or at a children's party, which is unheard of in many parts of the state. If you want to get a sense of how other people look at Wisconsin and Wisconsin's alcohol culture, go on YouTube. Go write in Lewis Black, the comedian, and he has a monologue. It's about 8 minutes long on Wisconsin. It's vulgar, I'll warn you, but most of his humor is. But that gives you a pretty good idea about what other people think of Wisconsin. You strip it away and it's not a pretty picture.
Well, how much do we drink in Wisconsin compared to the rest of the nation?
Well, it comes down in two different ways. One, it's the number of our population that drink. How much of our population drinks? About 66% of our population over age 18 drinks at least once every 30 days. That's very high compared to the rest of the nation. In fact, in most states, it's usually closer to 50-50. And our young people drink as well. They're mirroring us. When you even get into senior citizens, over 50% of our senior citizens, people over 65, drink on a regular basis. And that's very high. That's usually the amount that the entire adult population in many states drink. But even more than that, it's not so much that so many of us consume, and I drink alcohol. It's that binge drinking is such a problem in Wisconsin, and it's binge drinking that drives the cost, and it drives the horrific cost in human life and injuries, as well as money.
So who is it that's binge drinking? Is it college students, or is it, you know, a lot of people here in the state?
Actually, it's virtually everyone who drinks. In Wisconsin, 25% of our population over age 18 reports binge drinking. And binge drinkers are 14% more likely to report that they've driven while impaired. So when you're a binge drinker, it raises the risks of all the other negative alcohol-related harms.
Now, I want to back up a little and try to get some context. You've laid out just where Wisconsin is when it comes to drinking habits here, and as it turns out, we drink quite a lot.
We do.
So the question is, where does that come from? Why is Wisconsin doing this? And one suggestion that people make, we put this to our listeners on Facebook, is that it comes from our Germanic roots here in the state, that there is a strong heritage of brewing in Germany, lots of German immigrants here in Wisconsin. Hence, that is why Wisconsin drinks a lot. True or false?
I think it's false, and so does Jack Holzhäder. It's been too many generations. Germany has passed from the living memory of most Wisconsin residents. I only know one person in the state who has family still in Germany, considers herself a German-American. But there is a crumb of truth in there, and that is that the white population has a higher rate of current drinkers in the population than any of the racial subgroups within the United States. In Wisconsin, we're 88% white. In general, the population of the nation is 77% white. So we're probably going to have more current drinkers, but that still doesn't excuse or explain the binge drinking. And if you think it's really all about Europe, you should take the time to go and look at some of the controls they've put on alcohol in Europe and in Germany. It's not the country your great-grandfather may have left 125 years ago. We've all moved on.
So I'm guessing much stricter controls than we have in this state, in Germany, say.
I haven't done a study of German controls. I know that alcohol advertising is very strictly controlled in parts of the EU. In the United Kingdom, alcohol is measured. No free pours in a bar there. All the alcohol is measured, and it is throughout the EU, so that would include Germany. So it's a very different world.
Well, so has Wisconsin always had a troubled relationship with alcohol like we have today, or is this a recent thing?
No. We've not always had this relationship with alcohol. I ask myself the same question because, you know, people say that to me. We've always been that way. We can't change. And I just know that's not true because I'm not riding around on a horse and I can vote. I mean, there have been lots of changes that have occurred here. So I went back and spent a lot of time at the Wisconsin Historical Society, and I learned some fascinating things. In 1839, two brothers, Samuel and Jeremiah Phoenix, went to Wisconsin's territorial legislature and actually created a dry county. They named it after a prominent temperance leader named Walworth. Temperance House is still standing in Walworth County. You can see it there. But that's just an indication. We actually had a thriving temperance association long before we had a commercial brewery. We didn't have one of those until the 1840s, the Owen Brewery in Wisconsin. After statehood, the people of Wisconsin adopted a law that required anyone that opened a tavern to post a $1,000 bond. They had to post a bond that communities could claim against for if there were paupers, which is the term they used at the time. It's politically incorrect now, but these were called paupers' wages, and towns could go back and collect them. Women who claimed their husbands could no longer support the family could go back and claim them, and they actually have the records of a trial that took place in Racine County, where a family collected under this. We had, in the middle of the 19th century, an advisory referendum on prohibition in Wisconsin.
So when does it start?
It passed, but the legislature didn't follow through.
And when does Wisconsin turn that corner and become the state that we see today that does have this more darkly complex relationship with alcohol?
I think it's fairly recent. And the reason I say that is because for years, when you look back through the epidemiological data, which is a tough read, I'll give you, you'll find that for years and years and years, our rates of cirrhosis of the liver were far below the national average. And only in the past 4 or 5 years have they crept up and surpassed the national average, which suggests this recent behavior, it's a factor of a number of things, but it wasn't intentional. People didn't get in a room and say, we are going to create this happy hour, perpetual 24/7 happy hour in Wisconsin. It was the unintended consequences, and people didn't know what the consequences would be.
Is this something unique to Wisconsin, or is this something that you see in the Midwest and Wisconsin just happens to be especially strong in this relationship to alcohol?
Well, we have the highest binge drinking rate in the nation. We can't really say that it's a Midwestern thing because Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan all have much lower binge drinking rates than we are. It indicates that it's a number of factors. I had mentioned at the beginning how we have a lot of places to buy alcohol. Most states have about one alcohol outlet for every 1,400 people. How many outlets per person do you think we have here? How many Wisconsinites are there for every alcohol outlet? 330. That's four times the national average. If folks are driving home, it might be interesting as you drive by very carefully to look and see how many of the places you go past on the bus or walking or driving you can buy alcohol. It's much more than other states. And research shows that when alcohol is very, very available, it does increase demand. So that's clearly one of the factors.
Is it that simple because you can buy it in more places, hence the problem, or is it more complex than that?
Well, it's much more complex than that. Alcohol consumption really comes down to what we call in Wisconsin the four A's: how available it is, how affordable it is, how attractive it is, and how acceptable it is to use it. We've established it's pretty available. It's affordable because we have some of the lowest alcohol taxes in the nation. We have no prohibitions on drink specials, no requirements for minimum pricing. We have no involvement of the state in the sale. We have very relaxed social norms. One of the things that outsiders tend to notice is the first thing you'll be asked when you walk into a lot of Wisconsin homes is, what do you want to drink? And if a young woman says she doesn't want to drink, chances are good she's going to be asked if she's pregnant. And if a man says he doesn't want to drink, he's going to be asked if he has a hangover. There is an expectation that we will all drink, and that's our social norms. And it's those four things that are really driving the alcohol environment. But they drive the alcohol environment throughout the world, and they can be changed.
We're talking right now with Julia Sherman of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project about the cost of alcohol use in Wisconsin and how we got here.
And you can join the conversation. Do you think Wisconsin has a big alcohol problem? And what does alcohol use in the state cost you? How does it affect your life? If you are from out of the state, does the way Wisconsin relate to alcohol seem different from other parts of the country? Call and share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org.
We're continuing our conversation now with Julia Sherman of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project.
And you can join the conversation. What do you think of Wisconsin and alcohol? Do we have a drinking problem here? Why or why not? And what is the drinking culture like in your community, in your family, among your friends? Do you think excessive alcohol use is more accepted here than elsewhere? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Julia, looking at the costs of alcohol in Wisconsin, how much does it cost Wisconsin?
The Wisconsin population health researchers quantified that at $6.8 billion annually is the cost of excessive alcohol use. Mm-hmm. That's not all alcohol use. Moderate use isn't included. But when it's used inappropriately, it costs us all about $6.8 billion, which comes to close to $1,200 for each of us every single year.
It's quite a number. So what goes into that number?
A number of things. $749 million of it is for health care. Some of it's for the criminal justice system. Some of it is for motor vehicle related issues. A lot of it is for lost productivity, which is, in fact, why alcohol is an economic development issue. It's not a big secret in this country that many Wisconsinites drink during the day, and that results in lost productivity. The other form of lost productivity is the years of potential life lost. Each year, we lose over 44,000 years of potential life lost to alcohol-related deaths. That's a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge that is lost to us, and it has a cost.
We're going to go to our callers now. We've got Ruby on the line with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Ruby.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What is your take on all this?
So I just want to say it's really interesting because I just moved here a few months ago. I'm originally from Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, mm-hmm. where liquor sales are regulated. And I never really drank that much because, you know, you had to go to the liquor store to buy alcohol and go to a beer store to buy the beer. And there was, like, times where, you know, when the stores closed. But since moving here, I've noticed even myself just feeling like the need to drink to kind of be in conversation or be more social in that aspect. So that was just my comment that I feel like if there was some sort of regulations in terms of where you could buy it or the times, it would have an effect, obviously, on the consumption. And, yeah.
Okay, such an interesting perspective. Ruby coming from Toronto there, thank you for that call. Talking about the sheer availability of alcohol being a big factor for her, but she also touched on something else that is quite interesting, feeling like you have to drink to be part of the conversation, to be part of, I guess what she's saying is a social scene. It comes hand in hand with alcohol.
It does, in many situations. I think we had it highlighted here for us in Madison a few months ago when the Children's Museum wanted to apply for an alcohol license. That's not a venue where you usually would expect to find cocktails or any alcohol beverage served. And thankfully, they withdrew that application. But it really kind of illustrated the fact that it's all alcohol all the time, and it's okay. That normalizes it. And Ruby's right. You will drink more when everyone around you is drinking. It's human nature.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Ruby. And let's go next to Jason. Jason joining us in Hudson. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hey. Now, this is kind of a unique situation. Family, my family is kind of, I want to say isolated, if you will. It's farm community, homeschooled, etc. The kids there have grown up with beer not being a taboo. And yet, you know, as long as they never really seen anybody get hammered, it was always there available. You know, the 8-year-old would say, "Hey dad, could we share a beer?" And the 8-year-old would go get a beer and pour a glass for himself and finish, you know, a glass for his brother. And it was perfectly acceptable. And now here, you know, several years later, you know, they may or may not have a beer after putting up a mile of hay or whatever, but it's not a, you know, the availability was there, but it's like, it's not part of their, they have to drink. I was just wondering how that, you know, if that has been a case with your guests as far as, you know, not all availability. You know what I'm saying? If you get rid of
right.
the taboo.
Yeah, I think I got what you're saying there, Jason. And this is an argument that, you know, we've heard before. If you look at some people usually point to Europe and say in Europe, alcohol is normalized. You have a glass of wine at the family table. It's not taboo. Therefore, it's not a big deal. There's not as many alcohol problems. And Jason's saying, you know, in the old days in the farm families, it used to be kind of normal to have a beer, an 8-year-old with a father, I guess, to split a beer. And now it's more taboo. So maybe that leads to more demand for drinking. What do you make of that argument?
Well, one of the reasons that it's more taboo now is that we've seen a tremendous growth in the amount of research that documents the impact of alcohol on the developing brain. I think one of the reasons we've seen underage drinking in Wisconsin drop is that numerous groups have been getting this information out there, and parents are taking it seriously. They're no longer looking at it as a rite of passage. A child who begins drinking at age 14 or earlier develops a 41% lifetime chance of alcohol dependence. That's a very important number. So what our grandparents or parents may have done, they weren't trying to harm us. They didn't know what those consequences were. We didn't know until the past 10 to 15 years. It really comes down to Wisconsin has always looked to the future. We did what we knew, and now that we know better, we need to do a little better.
Now, we haven't touched yet on another area, which is drunk driving. Now, when we think drunk driving, we may tend to go to someone who's the repeat offender, who's the seasoned alcoholic, goes to the bar, goes over, and is used to trying to get behind the wheel and maybe causing some damage, maybe taking a life. Is that the right picture to have in mind, the repeat offender?
Actually, people that die as a result of a vehicular accident where alcohol is involved tend to be people that have not previously had a violation. It's simply a matter of numbers. We have so many people binge drinking. They're 14% more likely to be driving impaired. So they're just the larger group of people. The eighth offense drunk driver, it's horrifying when you read it in the newspaper. But the simple truth is, the paradox is, the guy that just has one too many at the bar on his way home because he binge drinks once a week or once a month, he's as much a danger as the eight offense, drunk driver. And there's a lot more of that guy.
And we're going to dig more into that problem later on in the week in the series. But I want to ask you before we let you go in our last 30 seconds here, can Wisconsin change its relationship with alcohol?
It can, and it's already begun. We've started to get a handle on underage drinking in this state. Numbers have fallen to the national average, and I see communities across this state doing exciting things that cannot be done on the state level. But we're digging in, and we're doing it one community at a time. And Wisconsin is changing. It's exciting.
Julia, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
This was Julia Sherman, coordinator for the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project, joining us to talk about how much alcohol use costs Wisconsinites.